Assembly Speaker Robin Voss recently said he wants to review the Government Accountability Board's request for funding to educate people on Wisconsin's voter ID requirements. In this edition of our State Capitol Report, we will talk with a guest from the League of Women Voters who says that the law is confusing and can hinder turnout. And then we will talk with a guest lawmaker who defends the measure and explains why he says the high turnout in April is proof that the law works and that money need not be spent on voter education. So we'll wonder what you think, too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, May 9th. We welcome your questions and your experiences. How was your experience with voter ID last month? Did everything go smoothly or did you run into some confusion? Do you think that lawmakers should approve spending $250,000 for a voter ID education campaign? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our first guest is Andrea Kaminsky, the Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Her column, Voter ID Education Needed to Ensure Fair and Efficient Election, appeared recently in the Capital Times and Urban Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we'll get into details as we go along, but in a nutshell, what's wrong with the Wisconsin's voter ID law?
The League of Women Voters did oppose and did challenge the law. We felt that it was unneeded. We felt that it did not address a real problem because there have been no cases of voter impersonation in Wisconsin, but that it makes it harder for some people to vote. It makes it impossible for some people to vote. That was the basis on which we acted. However, now it is the law. We know it's the law. The League is doing all we can to help citizens comply with this law because we don't want anyone to lose their vote.
Yeah, so you're not asking for voter education because you oppose voter ID in general. You say that the law is complicated and confusing.
The law is very complicated, and people who are generally well-informed, we work with the voters every day, and we think about this all the time, and yet we find it confusing at times. Questions of a certain ID is acceptable, and it can even be recently expired, but not before November 4th of 2014. Another one can be expired. Another one can't be expired. The questions of whether your ID has to have your current address on it. I know of a woman here in Madison who she's a civic leader. She's very well informed, but she's busy. And in February, she didn't try to vote because even though she had registered and voted at her new address, her driver's license, which she had updated through the DMV, actually still had her old address on it, which is what they do. And she thought she wouldn't be allowed to vote. It's hard to measure the people who don't even try, and we know they're there.
And in fact, in your piece, you cited three cases in which people in Wisconsin were properly registered but did not vote or were not able to vote because of the voter ID law, that they were tripped up by not knowing the details of a confusing law. So in this case, this particular civic leader could have voted but did not because she thought that because the address was on her license was incorrect that she could not vote when she could have.
That's right. That's right. When you update your address with the DMV, they update their database, but they don't change the card that you carry. And they don't even give you a sticker anymore. They used to do that. And so it's very important to know that in order to go and vote, if you have to register, you will need some proof of residence of your new address. But if you are just going to check in, you're already registered at that location, you can use your driver's license that doesn't have an up-to-date address. But these are just little details, and the framers of this law, of the voter ID law, said as they were advocating for the law, that the last thing they'd want to do is prevent any eligible citizen from voting.
Yeah.
Well, now's their chance.
Well, we will be hearing from Republican State Representative Bob Gannon in our next half hour, who said that last month's high turnout election goes to show that that this isn't stopping people from voting. That he said that the voter turnout approached 50% statewide, or about 2.1 million people. So, therefore, nobody's confused here. What do you say to that?
Well, we say, first of all, it's wonderful that there was a high turnout. We think that's terrific. However, we think that that's probably because of who was on the ballot. It's a very strange and interesting election year that we're in right now, and it could be just that the presidential primary races really have people's interest, and so we think that's why there was high turnout. And at the same time, we had the league had volunteer observers, 100 volunteer observers out in the polls, and they were watching to see what was happening in the polls. And they documented a number of people who weren't able to vote weren't able to get a regular ballot that would be counted that day. We know that in the state there were about 450 provisional ballots that were given to voters and cast. I don't know what percentage of those actually were counted in the end. A provisional ballot is what you get if you're registered to vote, but you're missing the documentation. If you don't have that ID, you'll get a provisional ballot. Traditionally in Wisconsin, there would be maybe 12 provisional ballots statewide. In this election, there were 400 and some.
And then the provisional ballot will be counted if you go back with the documentation that you needed.
By the end of the week, yes.
And you documented a couple of cases in your piece where someone said, you know what, I'm not even going to bother to vote because I know I can't get to the Department of Motor Vehicles by Friday.
That's right. There was a man in Eau Claire who was, he had moved to Wisconsin from Minnesota. He had everything he needed to register to vote in Wisconsin. He had the proof of residence. He was able to register, but then he walked a few feet over to the table to get a ballot, and he tried to use his Minnesota driver's license, which would be enough to get you on a plane, for heaven's sake, but it was not enough to get him a ballot. And he said, "Well, there's no way. I can't do it." Another man in DeForest was a Vietnam veteran in a wheelchair, and he had everything he needed to vote, to register. And then he went over to get a ballot and, again, was given a provisional ballot because he had a Wisconsin driver's license, but it expired in 2014, shortly before the November 4th cutoff in 2014. So it was an expired driver's license, not enough to allow him to get a regular ballot that would be counted.
Yeah. So he did get a provisional ballot, and if he was able to get a new license by Friday, he would have been able, that vote would have been counted.
Yes, yeah, he was, and he left. He was very upset. He left the polls saying there was no way. He was in tears. He said there was no way he would be able to arrange transportation because he's in a wheelchair. He had to arrange transportation first to the poll, to the DMV, and then to his clerk's office.
Well, we have Candace on Facebook who says, at the last election, my grandson registered to vote and had no problems. My neighbors who had just moved in recently registered to vote at the voting place. They had no problem. The only person I heard about who had a problem was a guy who forgot his billfold at home. He had to go home and get it. It just isn't that tough. We have a minute before a news break. What do you say to Candace?
I'd say that that's the experience that every voter should have. It should not be difficult. it should be a smooth process that we all can go in, and that Election Day should be a celebratory matter. But that's not the case.
We are talking with Andrea Kaminsky. She is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, talking about whether Wisconsin should spend money on a voter ID education campaign. The Government Accountability Board has requested this. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he'll consider it. But our guest lawmaker coming up after 7:30 says, no, that's a waste of money. It's not needed. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about whether Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin, should spend $250,000 to educate voters on the voter ID law, on what is needed to vote in the state of Wisconsin with our new voter ID law. We are talking with a guest who says that that voter education is needed. We'll talk with a guest coming up after 7:30 who says it is not, and we wonder what you say. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest now is Andrea Kaminsky, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Her column, Voter ID Education Needed to Ensure Fair and Efficient Election, appeared recently in the Madison Capital Times and Urban Milwaukee. And the Government Accountability Board is asking the legislature's Joint Finance Committee for $250,000 to fund a voter ID education campaign ahead of the fall election. Andrea, what would you want this effort to look like?
We know that before the law was enjoined, before it was blocked by court actions, the law as it initially was written actually included funding to educate the public, because the lawmakers who passed it knew that it was going to take some getting used to, and that they knew it was very confusing. And they wanted to help people be able to vote. So they allocated some money, and the Government Accountability Board used that money to create an educational campaign. And it includes public service announcements and for radio and TV. It includes written materials and so forth. Then the law was blocked. And the money was not used, the rest of the money, to get the campaign out. And so now the campaign sits on a website that the Government Accountability Board owns. It's called Bring It. It's called Bring It to the Ballot, bringit.wi.gov. And that website has information for voters in general about voter ID, but it also has this all the materials for the campaign. But the GAB has no money to buy airtime. It has no money to print the materials. And so this would just be finishing up. Now that the law is back in effect, this would be a matter of getting that campaign out so that it actually can do some good for people.
Yeah. Representative Bob Gannon, who will be our next guest, says that, as I mentioned before, that the voter turnout was the highest it's been in a very long time in Wisconsin, indicating he thinks that a voter ID education campaign is not needed. And he goes on to say the legislature should spend money as judiciously as possible and only when absolutely necessary. So saying that this would be a waste of money.
Well, we know of voters who were tripped up by the details of this law. They're busy people, and for one reason or another, they're in all over the state, and for one reason or another, they did not get to vote in this election. And we're expecting 1 million more voters to participate in November. that for it will go more smoothly for all of us if we're all ready to go when we get to the polls and ready to vote. And what more important thing can you help citizens do than vote? The framers of this law said that's what they wanted, was they didn't want to prevent anyone from voting. This is their chance. Otherwise, it's rhetoric.
Matt on Facebook says the interest in the presidential primaries was unprecedented and should not be used as a justification for making it harder to participate in our democracy. We can either make it harder or easier to vote. Republicans have a concerted nationwide effort trying to suppress voter participation. Glenn Grothman's comments expose the intent of the voter ID laws, in case anyone actually believes it was to curb voter fraud. I think Glenn Grothman walked those comments back a bit, but said something along the lines of that more Republicans will turn out than Democrats, and the voter ID law was going to help Republicans in November.
Yes, that came out right after the election, as well as the comments of a former aide to Senator Schultz, Dale Schultz. And those comments, you know, we don't believe that everybody who favors voter ID has a partisan intent, although those comments sounded like some folks do, that's for sure. But now is the time for those who supported this law to step up and show that they really don't want to keep people from voting. And this is the way to do it.
Let's go to Scott in Madison. Hello, Scott.
Hi there. Hey, I just have a question here. When the law went into effect, they pretty much published everything in newspapers, what you need to bring, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. And I just think, man, we don't need to spend that kind of money to teach people, you know, or show people what they need for voting. I mean, if you can't get a driver's license, you can go in with your electric bill. You can go in with different things. And it's been in the newspaper several times.
All right, so it's been in the newspaper already. Andrea Kaminsky, you kind of shook your head.
Well, this is a very, very confusing law, and the fact is that there's voter registration, and then there's voting. For voting, it's a short list of acceptable documents. An electric bill is fine when you're showing proof of residence for voter registration, but then if you try to go and get a ballot, a regular ballot that will be counted on election day, you have a much shorter list of documents. And I'll tell you that those of us who are working with this every day often confuse which documents are acceptable for what. For most people, if you have a Wisconsin driver's license or state ID, if you haven't moved, you haven't changed your name since the last time you voted, you're probably fine. And thank goodness that's true for most people. But there is a surprising number of people for whom that doesn't work.
And those people are mainly students and members of minority groups and maybe elderly?
Elderly, for sure. As soon as we had the turn of the year in January, it must have been people's New Year's resolutions. We had people calling us on behalf of their 90, 94-year-old mother who's been voting all her life. She's probably the daughter of a woman who couldn't vote, was barred from voting before suffrage, but she's been voting for decades. She hasn't had a driver's license in a long time, has no idea where her birth certificate is, etc. And all of a sudden, she has this barrier put in front of her. Well, we want to help people have what they need. We want them to know if she's indefinitely confined, she's exempt from the law. But some people don't know that. They're not voting because they're afraid that they can't comply.
Lucy in Jefferson is with us. Hello, Lucy.
Hi. I have a question. Why does the driver's license ID have to be current?
So the expired license wouldn't work? Is that
if it's recently expired, it can work. That's a very good question, because when your driver's license expires, you're still the same person, and that photo and that name still match you. And why that matters, I do not know, but that's the way that the law is written. And that's the kind of detail we want, you know, because it isn't logical. People can't count on just figuring it out. That's the kind of information that we want to get out for people.
Yeah. Boy, we have lots of questions now and very little time. In a related story, Wisconsin congressional Democrats are asking the U.S. Justice Department to review the state's voter ID law to see whether it lines up with the Federal Voting Rights Act and meets the constitutional muster. They also want to know what actions the DOJ could take against the law. What's your reaction to this?
Well, I think it's a good idea to have this investigated. It used to be the most strict voter ID law in the nation. Now it's certainly one of them. And it's interesting that our Attorney General Brad Schimmel, as soon as this information came out, started talking about adding a provision for people to sign an affidavit if they can't get a photo ID. They can at least sign a thing saying, you know, I can't get an ID, but I swear, under penalty of committing a felony, I swear that I am the person I say I am, and as a voter. And the Indiana law has that. Almost all of the photo ID laws have that.
How hopeful are you that there will be more clarity with regard to our voter ID law by the fall election?
Well, we are very hopeful. The framers of this law wanted voter education, and we believe that it's the right thing to do. We are hopeful that it will happen.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Andrea Kaminsky is the executive director of the League of Women Voters. This is our State Capitol Report. We now will get a different perspective on whether or not the state of Wisconsin should spend more money on voter ID education. Should lawmakers sign off on spending $250,000 to educate people on the voter ID law, or do you think that is a waste of money? Andrea Kaminsky making the case for the voter education. Now we will hear from a state lawmaker who says it's a waste of money. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Bob Gannon is our next guest. He is a Republican state representative from Slinger. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for being with us. So why is it that you don't think Wisconsin needs to educate residents on voter ID?
I think we've proven through the last election and actually the last two elections, the local elections and the state elections, that our voters are not confused. We actually have a very sophisticated voter in the state of Wisconsin, and I think almost 50% turnout in a presidential primary kind of shows that. As a matter of fact, I've been doing some research on this topic before I put out my press release trying to protect the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin. Just because somebody says something does not mean it's actually accurate. So I spoke to the people in my district, Assembly District 58, the clerks, to see what kind of problems we had with the election and whether the voters, the eligible voters, were walking out of the polling places, banging their heads against the wall, and how complicated it was to remove the driver's license from their pocket and show it to the clerk. We had one provisional ballot in all of Washington County, per the Washington County clerk. They had no problems. We did have waiting times up to 25 minutes, but that was because of the massive turnout, and they cannot correlate it to the change in the law.
Yeah.
We don't have a problem in Wisconsin. You know the problem we have in Wisconsin? Is groups like the League of Women Voters think that the taxpayers have unlimited funds that can be spent for every idea. Here's the problem, ma'am. Joy, here's what I see, and I heard it with your last guest. She kept talking how they lost in court. Some of your listeners put in, and they talked about they're against the law. They're asking for this money to keep fighting a battle that is over. Voter ID is the law in Wisconsin. Do not go on the premise that people cannot figure out how to vote, because I believe what you're doing is you're doing a false story, a false impression, trying to plant a seed that this is so complicated. The people of Wisconsin are backward hicks living under a rock. In the 5 years of court battles, nobody saw in the media, on Wisconsin Public Radio, as it's been discussed, over and over and over, ad infinitum, on what is necessary to vote, a simple photo identification.
Yeah. What the Andrew Kaminsky and others say that the high voter turnout was in part due to the very interesting presidential primary that we have going on, and that it would have been even higher if it weren't for the voter ID law.
Well, and I'm glad that she did come on, because she actually made my case for me. She identified three people that had problems voting. Joy, $250,000 divided by three is 80-some thousand dollars per voter that we would have needed to spend of the taxpayers' fund, removed it from the pockets of the hardworking citizens of this state to educate $83,000 per confused voter. Let's take this money. This $250,000 that she demands that the taxpayers give on April 15th to the state of Wisconsin to fund this program, let's take those funds and divide it out by the number of counties in the state. If we do this, this average is $3,500 per county in Wisconsin. I run a business in Washington County right outside of Milwaukee. $3,500 is not a one-month advertising campaign for my business. $3,500 is insignificant and inconsequential. There is not a problem. What's happening here is some just cannot face the facts that they lost in the state legislature on a vote, on their position on a vote in the state legislature, and they've dragged it to court and made the taxpayers spend tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars defending this simple change, guaranteeing the integrity of the vote, and now they want to drag it out some more and get back deeper into the pockets of the taxpayers.
A Joint Finance Committee co-chair John Nygren says the Government Accountability's Board request for the $250,000 is going to get serious consideration. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss recently said he wants to review that request. How do you feel about that?
I respect Representative Nygren and Representative Voss. If they can find credible evidence and bring it to me, I will agree with them. Based on the evidence I have at this point, though, I haven't seen any problem in the state of Wisconsin educating voters on how to vote. This high turnout was caused by the, I don't know what the term is, but the presidential primary and all that's going on in it. But the people were able to vote. Forget why people showed up to vote. The key here is League of Women Voters is claiming that people were so confused they could not vote. We did not have that problem in my county. If that is happening in other counties, the League at their expense should go out and do public service, get on Wisconsin Public Radio, and say, XYZ County, you seem to be confused. Don't go statewide if there's problems in pockets. My pocket, my part of the state, we don't live under rocks. We had no problem voting.
What about, though, how it's hard to document if someone is confused and says, you know what, I'm not even going to show up at the polls because my license is expired or
sure,
I don't
sure.
have the right. I recently moved, so I don't think I can vote. And, they're not even going to show up and be turned away.
Yeah, Joy, in a perfect world, we would spend taxpayer dollars on the lowest common denominator. And for every excuse, I heard this over and over from your prior guest about how people are busy. Well, I'm flipping busy, too. Get over it. We don't create laws, and we don't spend government money because you're too busy to figure out how to vote. I'm sorry, but the nanny state is expensive. And the taxpayers in this state want us to use the money as fiduciarily responsible as possible, because you're busy is not an excuse for your neighbor to fund a campaign to teach you how to get unbusy. I don't know. If you're busy, that's your excuse. And that means you're fighting the law. The law has been instituted. The law has been through the courts. The law is now the law. Here's some numbers for your listeners to take a look at. Wisconsin has $4.2 million licensed drivers. Now, obviously, the people between 16 and 17-year-olds can't vote, but we only have 3.5 million registered voters. So that means 700,000, but remember, a lot of people don't have driver's licenses. So we have about 700,000 citizens that aren't registered to vote. Are we supposed to pass a law making it easier for them to just not have to get out of their chair and bother to register? Where does it end?
We are talking with Bob Gannon, Republican state representative from Slinger, about the request from the Government Accountability Board for $250,000 to educate people on the voter ID law. Representative Gannon says there is no need for this kind of money to be spent on this kind of education. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. In our first half hour, we heard from a guest from the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin who was advocating for voter ID education. Now we are talking with Bob Gannon, a Republican state representative from Slinger, who says that the high turnout in the April presidential primary is proof that the voter ID law works and that there is no confusion, and that $250,000 to educate people on the law is not needed. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Mike in Greenbush is with us. Hello, Mike.
Good morning. I think somebody needs to challenge the representative's assumptions. I was recently in the city of Two Rivers asking questions about the voter ID law, and even the city clerk couldn't answer.
Well, I don't know why our caller just dropped off out of blue. He's saying that that in Two Rivers, he says that even the city clerk is confused as to all of the details of what documentations are needed for voting versus registration and the like, Representative Gannon. So, you know, that even people who are involved with this law are confused by it.
Assume what that caller just said is untrue. For a city clerk to not be educated on election laws in Wisconsin, whether it's voter ID or any other election laws, is embarrassing. So I am going to trust that that is not a true statement.
Yeah.
How can you be a city clerk running the elections in your community and have any confusion on any law? Then you should step down and get out of the way and let somebody else that will read the law. The law is not difficult. Just so you know, Joy, 2.1 million citizens in the state of Wisconsin voted in the last election. And if the city clerk couldn't figure it out and 2.1 million citizens could, maybe the city clerk needs to be deposed and we will just move on.
Gary on Facebook says showing proper identification to vote is fundamental common sense. Those who wish to vote do have a personal responsibility to know what is required, and that information is easily available, more so than ever before. Apparently, there are a handful of people who have not been using their legal names who did have difficulty voting, and hopefully they can get their issues resolved. With the most recent election having a record turnout, there does not appear to be a major problem here, which requires new expenditures. So that's how you feel.
I'd like to comment on that, too. The spokesperson for the League of Women Voters didn't take the time to call the GAB and find out what happened in the last election, but I did. And there were 375 provisional ballots issued statewide, 2.1 million voters. That comes out to 0.0001785. We're talking a very, very fractional, tiny, tiny fractional amount of people that could not figure out how to vote. Of those 375 provisional ballots issued, we don't know if it was because of voter ID or they had moved and not brought a utility bill, or we have no clue. They may have been at the wrong polling place. Nobody says that's because of voter ID. Of those, 108 were counted. So what is that, about 30% they actually came back and took care of the problem. 9 of the provisional ballots, nobody has any clue of what happened to them. Here's the deal. So now we ended up with 250 statewide provisional ballots that did not get counted. Here's the law, Joy. They have the opportunity to go from Tuesday to Friday and fix their problems. I wish I could fix my problems with the IRS if I make a mistake. I wish I could fix my problems if I went over the speed limit. You don't have that opportunity in anything else that we pass laws on legislatively where we give you 3 days to cure your problem. These people made the choice. As the spokesperson for League of Women Voters says, people are very busy. You know, Joy, I'm busy too. Suck it up. I actually voted early. I got it done. I had no problem.
Yeah. And then your response to her one example of, for example, the Vietnam veteran in a wheelchair who had the expired license and knew he was not going to be able to get transportation to a DMV to correct it even with a few days.
Ma'am, I can't find one instance out of 2.1 million that say we should change the law. I wish we could make it absolutely make it so that everybody could vote for their home, do it with their toe, do it between their coffee and their toast, and make life as easy as possible for people. But we can't do that because the integrity of elections is too important. Should we then go back to having people dip their finger in the purple ink like they do in third world countries and run our elections that way? Somehow we have to have integrity and make sure that the elections are fair. I'm sorry that some people are going to find it difficult to get it accomplished. I really am. If that veteran would call me and he's in my area, I'll drive him there. That's not a problem. You know, if he would call his local WPR station, Wisconsin Public Radio, I'll bet they'd find a volunteer to get him to the station.
Well, I don't know about that, but Jane in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Jane.
Hello. I'm a poll worker in Green Bay in the Suamico area, and I beg to differ with what I'm hearing from you. You talk about the clerks not knowing what's going on when your laws are changing a couple of days before the election, and we go in for training. They barely can update their slides to let us know what the newest version of the law is. That was true for the veterans' IDs that were allowed this last time in April that weren't allowed earlier. We had plenty of problems with students in particular, and not making it easier for people. You're spouting lots and lots of numbers, but when you compare your 375 people who had provisional ballots to the number of fraud cases, I think you'd find that your number of fraud cases was lower yet.
Yeah, so I want to respond to that, Representative Gannon.
Yeah, the reason that the rules were changing right up until the presidential primary was because of the lawsuits forced by the League of Women Voters. And the government lawyers were trying to come up with a way to solve this and get this thing so it could actually be implemented. Remember, this law was passed in 2011. It's been dragged to the courts for 5 years. There may be changes because of most recent litigation before the presidential primary. I'm sorry. It may be the night before. As a clerk, you take an oath to do the job and uphold the laws of the state. If you cannot accept that responsibility, and if the law changes the day before the election, and you don't think you can absorb those changes and understand it as a clerk, please, please ask somebody else to sit in that position. It's a very responsible position. I thank people for putting their time out for the very, very little compensation they get. But if you can't handle it, if you can't learn, My rules change. I'm in the insurance business. It changes every day. Yes, we have to make changes. We get it done. And if you're not able to learn the new rules, if the courts decide the day before the November election that we must do this to make because of the court case, better be ready for change. I'm sorry, but I that wasn't something that came from the legislature. That came from the courts.
John in Belgium is with us. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I just want to comment. Representative, I love you. You are wonderful. Thank you. And I'd like to make a comment. Look, you collect a welfare check, you need to show ID. You get on a plane, you need to show ID. You go in, you buy liquor, you need to show a current valid ID. I'm from Chicago. The saying is, vote early and often. Give me a break. Cut it out. You guys are trying to steal our elections with illegals and people who are voting two and three times and doing whatever. This is ridiculous. Get over it. Thank you, Representative, for not spending my money. And thank you for showing some common sense. And by the way, I'd love to thank all the Republicans for lowering my tax bills, my property tax bills, and keeping the state solvent.
Thanks, John. But today it's voter ID. Do you think Representative Gannon, I don't know, those people are trying to steal the election?
Oh, first off, I was not in the legislature when the voter ID bill was passed. I'm not here to debate voter ID, but I am a big, big proponent of voter ID. I don't know if it would have been this form or some other form, but I'm taking what I got. It was passed. It's been through the courts. It is the law. We need to make sure that we have honest and have integrity in our elections. I'm here today because I put out a press release trying to protect the taxpayers. Here's the bottom line, Joy. Uncle Bucky is broke. we had to get creative with schools in the last budget. We had to get creative with the entitlement programs. We don't have enough money to pay for the roads. And then somebody's going to come out here and complain. Every time some disaffected group that loses in court, we're supposed to throw $250,000 at them to get them to quiet down and get them to move on to a different topic. I'm sorry, but the taxpayers, we are still the 40th plus tax state in the nation. I am here today speaking to you, Joy, on behalf of the pocketbooks of the taxpayers. I'm not, unless you can show me serious, serious deficiencies in our voting process, I'm not giving another nickel if I have to vote on it.
Let's go to Kim in Lake Mills now. Hi, Kim.
Oh, just a minute. Hi. I'm just saying that, I'm sorry, someone's talking, that provisionally in the past, when the state has a law change that affects everybody in the state, we have had ad campaigns. When we started having a law that said that we had to buckle up our seatbelt, we had click it or ticket. When we had a law that said that, when we had to educate people about all the roundabouts, there's a huge ad campaign for that. Why can't we educate the people on what they need to vote?
Representative Gannon?
I just go. If it was, I will say it again. If it's proven to me that it is a serious issue that people can't figure out how to vote in the state of Wisconsin, I would reconsider my position. At this point, there is no evidence to show that the citizens of this state are confused.
Yeah. Andrea Kaminsky said that originally the law had money set aside for voter education. So why not just do that?
Yeah. You know, Joy, I'll bet if I was in the legislature back in 2011, 5 long years ago when this passed, I probably would have agreed to that too, because you were passing the bill, and I have the dates here, but I don't want to hold you up, the day that it passed, and then it was going into effect very quickly in the next election. That would have been the voters had to figure it out in a couple months that the laws had changed. We would have to get the word out. It's now been 5 years. This has been debated nationally. It's been debated statewide. It's been debated locally. I've had, myself, I've only been in office a year and a half, and I've had more than a dozen town hall meetings. Anybody had any questions, they've had plenty of opportunities to ask. Just because we said just so you know, Joy, my plan is to get rid of the dandelions in my yard this spring. But if I don't have dandelions, so I have no need to spend the money on the dandelion poison, I'm not going to do it. That's like this $250,000. We no longer have a need to spend it. This has been out. It's been publicized. It's working. We've actually had an election that showed we had no problems in the state.
Thank you very much for being with us. We do appreciate you coming on. Bob Gannon is a Republican state representative from Slinger. Thanks to producers Bill Martins, Brianne Shasso, and Nyasia Ellison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.